KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The Arctic Council, the association of the world's polar countries, has agreed to grant observer status to six non-Arctic nations. APRN's Peter Granitz reports some people fear the countries are trying to secure long-term commercial interests. The Arctic Council will allow China, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, India, and Italy observer status. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski attended the biennial Arctic Council ministerial meeting this week in Kiruna, Sweden. She says the new observer countries will not vote on policies and agreements, but they will have a voice in negotiations.
It allows you to be in the discussions, to help formulate some of the papers that are then reviewed. So It is more than just sitting in a room and having a credential pass around your neck.
Voting on new partnerships like the one on oil spill prevention agreed to this week remains in the hands of the eight polar countries. And alongside those are six permanent participants, groups representing Arctic natives. Charlie Ebinger directs the Energy Security Initiative at the left-leaning Brookings Institution. He says people are justifiably concerned that these new countries are using observer status as a stepping stone.
Obviously, those countries want observer status because they believe they have long-term commercial interests with new maritime routes. You know, the Chinese have been looking for mineral deposits in Greenland, both the rare earths and uranium.
And it's not just mining the countries are interested in. James Collins is a former ambassador to Russia. He says the Arctic is still an emerging market and more resources will become available as climate change opens the ocean.
There's shipping, there's energy, there's resource extraction. And exactly which companies are going to be active in pursuing those is probably only beginning to be defined.
Canada takes over the chair of the Arctic Council this week, and the United States follows suit, so for the next 4 years, the chair will be in North American control. Luke Coffey is a fellow at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, and he says it's a good sign of U.S. involvement that both Secretary of State John Kerry and his predecessor Hillary Clinton attended the Arctic Council meetings. They are the first two secretaries of state to do so. But it should not stop there. He says the United States should start to consider a diplomatic post to handle Arctic negotiations. Coffey suggests a Deputy Secretary of State for the Arctic. Both Senator Murkowski and Senator Begich have called for an Arctic ambassador. Senator Murkowski says the administration does not support the position. As for expanding the council, Senator Murkowski says the observer issue is resolved after it dominated much of this week's gathering. She says no countries will be added to the list of observer states, nor will the European Union, which is seeking the designation. Still, there are major global players located far from the North that will now have a hand in Arctic policy.
There is a lot of discussion about, well, what do you think their motives are? I look at it and say, I have to assume that their motives are they see that the Arctic is filled with opportunity and promise, and things are happening up there, and they want to be involved. They want to know what's going on. They want to be on the inside.
She says a country's observer status is up for review every 4 years, though she acknowledges no country has lost it since the Arctic Council formed in 1996. Winter weather is hanging on as summer approaches, and snowstorms and ocean and river ice are still present in western Alaska, while Fairbanks is experiencing the latest snowmelt within the past 50 years.
It's an extreme winter. There's no getting around that.
That's Dr. John Walsh, a president's professor of global change at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, who's been recognized for his research on climate change in the Arctic. Walsh says the reason winter is still here is because of wind patterns.
We've had a lot of winds from the north and the northwest, when ordinarily we would have had a good number of occurrences of south winds. And this seems to be tied with something known as the Pacific Decadal Oscillation.
Pacific Decadal Oscillation, or PDO. That's a circulation pattern of ocean temperatures and winds over the North Pacific Ocean extending into Alaska. Walsh explains that the PDO has two phases. In the positive phase, winds from the south are more common, creating warmer winters and a warmer climate in Alaska. Walsh says this dominated in the 1980s through the early 2000s. The negative phase is when south winds become less prominent, causing winds from the north to bring in colder air. Alaska is currently in the negative phase.
When we get the north winds, unusual north winds like we have now, those unusually cold air masses are brought down into the interior and the west coast and the southwest coast. And that's consistent with what we're seeing in this cold and snowy pattern.
Walsh says these phases typically last for about 10 to 20 years, meaning that cold winters carrying over into the spring may be happening for some time.
There was a stretch like this back in the 1960s through the mid-70s, where winters, on balance, were colder than the average. Then we had a stretch of 15 or 20 years with warmer winters than average. Now it seems like we're going the other way. So despite all this talk about global warming and climate change, the year-to-year and even the decade-to-decade changes that we experience are more due to the wind patterns.
Walsh says there is not capability yet to predict when the transition between phases will shift next, but he is confident that 2013 won't be a year without a summer. And it does look like warmer weather is on the way. Walsh says warmer temperatures than normal are expected by Memorial Day weekend. Nome officials are promoting boat safety, bike safety, firearm safety, and more at the safety fair tomorrow from 11 to 4 o'clock at the Nome Elementary School. This is the second annual fair. Mimi Farley from City of Nome Emergency Services is helping coordinate the family-friendly event. Farley says at the safety fair, people can learn everything from how to ride a bike.
They'll take children on this course and show them how to stop at the stop signs, what side of the street they should be riding their bicycles on.
To what to put in a disaster kit.
Which could be like, you know, batteries, canned food, flashlights, just things to go to have on hand in case of an emergency.
And more.
There's also child safety, car seats. There's firearm safety by the Nome Police Department. Gun locks, gun safety, boating safety. We'll be giving out free life jackets.
The Nome Safety Fair is organized by various organizations in town, including Kowarik Wellness, the Police Department, Emergency Services, and Norton Sound Health Corporation Injury Prevention. Mimi Farley, again with Emergency Services, says they're organizing the fair for a second year because Western Alaskans need to hear this information every year.
Alaska's very remote and very secluded. So we feel safety is a number one concern in our community.
Farley encourages everyone to stop by the Nome Elementary School on Saturday, whether to check out the booths or pick up a free helmet. The Nome Safety Fair is tomorrow from 11 to 4 o'clock at the Nome Elementary School. The price of gold in New York is down $25.50 an ounce to $1,361.30, an ounce of silver at $22.36, down 43 cents. It's currently 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.